This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Stephen Bassett is talking further about now, I guess, the expectations for the testimony, the people who might show up to appear in congressional hearings on UFOs in 2021. Stephen, go ahead.
As I was saying, you divide it up into the pre-disclosure, post-disclosure eras, and then we're in the last days of the truth embargo, pre-disclosure. And disclosure, and I say disclosure, I'm talking about the event, right? The event, not small d, capital D, the announcement, the confirmation that has to come from the president. So in order to get to there, they have hearings. They bring in the witnesses, lots of military witnesses with extraordinary testimony under multiple committees, which will be very impressive. Now, you also have to keep in mind that probably half or more of the public already are convinced there's an ET presence. So it's not like they have to be convinced by these hearings. But in any event, this information will be then covered by the media. It'll be seen around the world. It will be very potent. And it will take us to the point where the president can say that, look, this testimony is compelling. And based upon that, I think it's now time to pretty much confirm, yes, there's a non-human intelligence involved here. And, of course, we want to know more about that, but I can confirm that to you tonight. So then that's the disclosure event, and now we immediately enter the post-disclosure period. Now the hearings take on a different bent, all right? Because the president has made the announcement, in a way, that has green-lighted pretty much every agency, every manager of every classified program that it's a new day. And you need to sort of start preparing for declassifications and the public airing of a lot of information. Exactly what? Not clear yet. How much? Not clear yet. But get ready for that. And so in the hearings that follow disclosure is when they can start expanding into other aspects of the phenomena. And I already mentioned that I think contact at some point will come into play there. However, they will start holding hearings about technology, I think, and some of the investigations that have been done and so forth. Now, this will be awkward because when you get to that phase, what's coming out and what will be coming out in testimony is information about what the government has been doing about this issue since 47. And obviously, a lot of people are going to go, wait a minute. You were doing that in 1950, or you knew that then, or you've had this program. In other words, it's gonna become common knowledge, and accepted and confirmed knowledge that, yeah, the government's been investigating it for years and years, and yeah, we embargoed it. And the president will have to come in and step in on that and say something along the lines of, yes, I can also confirm, based upon the information provided to me, that yes, there's been an embargo on this issue. It's been deeply classified, and there's much that you simply were not told. And so now we need to start learning about that. And people will say, well, President Biden, why didn't you tell? I wasn't read in. I'm not the one that embargoed it. I didn't challenge it, but I didn't embargo. I wasn't read in. But it is the truth. And there will be some people living that will be asked some tough questions. And there will be a lot of people that aren't living, and it's irrelevant. But yeah, ultimately, we will have to have hearings on the whole history of the truth embargo. So one of the hearings may very well be, and this will have an audience, it will be the Roswell hearing. And they'll bring in some people that can give us hard evidence in the files regarding the actual Roswell event, confirming the crash, confirming the bodies, and so forth. That'll be a big day. And people go, wow. In general, people are going to say, tell us everything else. At some point, they're going to back off. In other words, like I said, look, you know a lot. We told you a great deal. And some of this is still highly classified. We cannot really get into that now. But be patient. And people are going to be fine with that. They're going to go, hey, look, you've confirmed the ET presence.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't think people are going to be patient if they go that far. If they say, yeah, alien visitation is a reality. And then they show us some evidence that we haven't seen before, like not some blurry photos or something, but some official footage straight out of NASA that is crystal clear, HD. Yeah. This is what it is. It's here. But we're not going to tell you any more than that right now. I think then they're going to get a deluge of pressure from the public to say, wait a minute, you can't just show us that and then not fill us in on the rest.
They will get a deluge from some of the public, but the larger public was going to be relatively, I think, amenable to this. Now, keep in mind, the government's in a good position. They have so much stuff that they can always be releasing something, right? And so it's not like they're just going to shut it all down and say, okay, from here on in, we can't talk about ETs. No, there will be hearings and this and that, and information will come out. So they'll always have some bone that they can throw out there to keep people happy that they're, but the idea that they're just going to dump it immediately, all of it, no, that's not going to happen. There are national security factors here. But understand that once the ET presence is confirmed, this also unleashes the private sector. And so the private sector may have some things to talk about. Plus, you're going to have all kinds of programs and this and that and research developing. And it's going to be an exciting time. And so there's going to be a lot for people to take in and a lot of interesting things happening. And so the idea that, oh, no, all we want is everything from the government, we want it now. No, it's just not going to be the way it's going to be. There will be some that will make demands that are very intense. But it's how the general public, the overall public, reacts to it that matters to the president and the Department of Defense. And I think they'll be able to handle this in a way the vast majority of people will be, okay, we're good, just as long as you keep, and by the way, I think the public will all say, please don't do this again. Don't hide something from this magnitude from us for 70 years ever again. Thank you very much. I think you'll have that. There will be reforms that will be undertaken. There may be a restructuring of the USAP programs. Who knows? But I'll tell you, most people are going to be pretty thrilled just to get the damn disclosure announcement so that the ET issue is no longer off the table. It's no longer taboo, and you can get into it and study it and teach it in colleges without having people look at you funny. Right? And then, of course, you got all the contactees who will finally be vindicated, and their stories will be told and retold, and there'll be movies and documentaries, and they will be, I think, very popular people. They will be thrilled about it. There's so much upside after the disclosure event. I'm not concerned about some of the logistical issues of the post-disclosure process, but I can assure you that there will be plenty of people like myself that my position will be, look, unless there is a compelling reason to keep this information still withheld for a while, we need it out. Don't just slow walk the slow walk. In other words, if you've got stuff that can come out, then get it out, right? Don't hold back appropriately releasable stuff simply to keep things moving slow and other stuff like that.
I mean, people have said that we're already kind of in what they call this sort of drip, you know, trickle down disclosure era. So kind of what you're saying is like we've been going through this sort of trickle down disclosure era where the tap has been just kind of dripping and dripping and dripping. And then what's going to happen is when we get these hearings, it's not going to be like they open it up full bore. It's going to be opening it up more so that we get maybe like instead of, you know, the odd drop coming out every once in a while, we get an actual steady flow of something substantial, or at least more substantial than we've had so far.
No, it won't be drip, drip, drip. It'll be initially there'll be a huge amount of stuff coming forward. And don't forget that there is a huge amount of information in the public domain already amassed by the citizen science researchers and activists and journalists. And the moment the ET presence is confirmed, all of that information becomes validated. And, you know, hell, I mean, you could spend a lot of time just going back through what's in the public domain. So it's not like people are going to be sitting around bored with nothing to research. So there will be, I think, an orderly period of time, I think about 2 years, where at the end of 2 years, there's very little about the ET reality that is being withheld by the government. And then, of course, and in terms of the human condition and the fate of the planet, probably the most important information in terms of when does it get out and so forth is the technology stuff.
We've got more with Stephen Bassett and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hello, Paracast people. I'm Greg Carlwood, the host of the Higher Side Chats podcast, an uninterrupted and action-packed interview-based show where I talk to some of the brightest minds for our troubled times about all things paranormal, occult, esoteric, and conspiratorial. After 10 years, we've heard it all. Alien moon bases, archons, hollow earth, technocratic and biomedical agendas, magic, mind control, and Lovecraftian monsters. Oh my. Usually, the first hour of the show is free, and the second hour is for members who sign up for the Higher Side Chats Plus at $8 a month. But praise be, we're giving Paracast listeners 2 free weeks of Plus when you use the all caps coupon code PARACAST. Go to thehiresidechats.com, sign up with the code PARACAST, and dive into the nearly never-ending archive of great interviews I've been lucky enough to get over the years, from David Politis to David Icke, and many, many guests not named David. Check it out. You're going to love it. All right, Gene, was that good? Can we use that one?
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have 2 convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
In terms of the technology, let's kind of look at, we have this next event, we have the disclosure, and then, of course, we have that book that Bryce Abel and Richard Dolan wrote a number of years back, AD After Disclosure. So let's look at Stephen Bassett's look at the world after disclosure. We mentioned technology. Now, if there was a crashed spaceship recovered at Roswell, at this point in time, after all these years, would we have been able to reverse engineer anything, understand anything? I mean, it's like go back to 1947 and hand somebody an iPhone. But now consider an iPhone or whatever communications equivalent we have 500 years from now, and whether science can figure about any of it. So the question would be then, if we have this spaceship from a race of people hundreds or thousands of years ahead of us, how could we possibly figure out what makes it tick?
And what if they're only 500 years ahead of us? But that's a good point. We don't know definitively how much tech has been understood from any vehicles that we've got. But there's a very strong suspicion that they figured out anti-gravity, which is a big deal in and of itself. So there's a lot of evidence for that. In terms of propulsion, it's different. We talked about this on your show before. It's much more difficult. I say propulsion, I mean energy. Well, actually, there may be three systems here: anti-gravity, propulsion, and energy. But whatever, energy is much harder to assess because how do you assess it? If there's a huge craft hovering over the city with U.S. Air Force on it, that's a pretty good indication they've got anti-gravitic drive. But how do you know what the energy system? We don't know. Well, I certainly know that they would move heaven and earth to figure it out, how those craft are, what energy systems they're using. I'd like to think that they made progress, and they may have solved it. There's also the fact that the very existence of these craft has put these realities in the minds of countless government scientists who, even without a craft, knowing that it's possible, and knowing that interstellar drive is possible, has just accelerated their research into, okay, how can we do it? And they may have made progress there. That would still be classified. And so, ultimately, it comes down to this. Can we afford, given the state of the planet right now, and both and politically, ecologically, can we afford to withhold massively significant technologies like that from the public any longer? And people say, well, if you bring it out, they're going to weaponize it. Well, you bring it out in such a way that you don't weaponize it. All right, that's the job of government.
Wait a minute. I think that there's just no question about it. They're not going to keep building, F-35s or whatever, or Lightnings with jet motors if they can put an anti-grav drive in there and they can outmaneuver everything else. I mean, it's going to happen. And maybe that's going to force their hand as well, because as soon as we start flying around that stuff, then there's going to be no question that that kind of technology exists. And if it exists and we've got it, well, why shouldn't anybody else in our local group not have it?
Now, you've raised an interesting point. One of the concerns less talked about is the fact that if, as many suspect, we're not the only country with ET craft, crash vehicles, all these years, it may be that there has been a completely secret alien weaponization, technology weaponization race going on that we don't even know about.
Yeah, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised about, this is really interesting. And I'm so glad you're coming back for After the Paracast on this too, because you are one of the most interesting people to talk to about this subject because of your experience and all of the amount of thought that you put into this. We could be dealing with here another set of questions. I mean, aren't people going to say, okay, ET's here. Are they friend? Are they foe? Yeah. What kind of relationship do we have with them? And if there is some sort of cooperation, I mean, how do we know that maybe they won't have, a mothership come down and hover over a city where all the news cameras can see it, or walk an alien right out onto a press conference? I mean, what if it goes that far? I mean, that could be pretty amazing. I mean, that would be monumental.
I'll get a little out in front of our skis here. Look, what I meant by alien weapon technology race, I'm referring to different countries, several countries that are re-engineering alien-derived technology, AT-derived technology. I don't like to use the word alien. And trying to see what kind of weapons they could make. And they're secretly doing this in a race to see who can get these new weapons together. But because it's ET derived, it's utterly secret. Everybody knows that they're trying to build better nuclear torpedoes and bombers or whatever the hell. We know that, but we do not know, and have certainly never been told, that ET technology is also being weaponized, and we don't know where the Russians are. So the sooner we find out about that, if that's true, the better. That way the people, the world's people, can raise their hand and say, we don't think that's a good idea. Let's get some treaties signed here right away, guys. So there's that. All right. Now, let me deal with the second part of what you said this way. Look, here's an endless list of ifs and what ifs that will emerge quickly in the post-disclosure world. Enough to keep a lot of people awake at night for a good while, and on antacids, if you're not already on antacids. And I understand that. And there's potential for a lot of concern and upset and confusion, and also political problems that would develop because we're in a new paradigm. All kinds of things are happening. I have a hunch that this will sort of get resolved in a way. A lot of these what ifs and so forth will get resolved, but not by us. I have always felt and still feel that the disclosure event is just not the end game here. That based on the ET activities and what we know about them, that there's more here than just getting disclosure. And I think that once disclosure takes place, that we're going to see open contact.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was just going to ask you then, what do you think the end game is?
I think the end game is the fundamental agenda in the modern era. I can't speak for 5,000 years ago, though I've watched all the ancient aliens, and I'll probably watch them all again, is the relatively advanced global civilizations of Earth, a global civilization of Earth. The time had come when it needed to be introduced to the larger galactic civilization, or near galactic civilization. In other words, it's time. We're spacefaring, nuclear powered, AI developing human beings who are, much more of a danger to ourselves than anything else. And, we're ready. Hell, I wouldn't be surprised if what we learn about the galaxy pretty much mirrors what we've already got in our science fiction movies. It'll be, it's just like that. Hey, ETs arrive and say, what's it like out there? Well, have you watched Star Trek? Yeah, it's like that. It's like the agenda all along.
We have an agenda to present right now. And then we'll be back with Stephen, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Thousands descended on Washington, D.C. Saturday to march in support of President Donald Trump and express their belief that the 2020 presidential election was rigged against him. This protester told News Nation that he didn't trust state elections officials who have said there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
And the reason why I don't trust it is simple. You need a license to drive a car, go fishing, hunting, everything. Marriage license. Why can't we have voter ID? I think if Donald Trump said he trusts the election, he would just be conceding, and he's not about that.
Fewer Americans are expected to travel for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving this year due to a rise in coronavirus cases. AAA says they expect at least 10% fewer people to travel for the holiday, breaking an 11-year streak of increased travel for Thanksgiving. Air travel is expected to be reduced by half, but car travel should still be popular. The Auto Club says it's expecting fewer drivers, but thinks about 48 million Americans will still hit the road for Turkey Day. This is USA Radio News. One meal delivery app is taking itself public. Kenneth Burns has the details from the USA Radio News East Coast Bureau.
Delivery company DoorDash is planning to sell its stock to the public. The San Francisco-based company filed papers signaling its intent for an initial public offering Friday. The company is capitalizing on the growing trend of consumers embracing app-based deliveries as much of the world stays home during the pandemic. Last year, DoorDash generated $885 million in revenue. During the first 9 months of this year, revenue more than doubled that number. It was already growing before the pandemic, but the company has lost money each year since its founding. They've warned potential investors the losses could continue as they anticipate increasing expenses.
SpaceX will try again Sunday to launch its second manned spaceflight. High winds and bad weather led to Mission Control scrapping Saturday's scheduled launch, citing difficulties in landing and recovering the rocket's booster. The next window for launch will be Sunday evening around 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The flight will take three astronauts to the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so what's out there is what our sci-fi writers can envision. Of course, in the Star Trek universe, we make first contact in the mid-21st century after World War III when a crazed inventor named Zefren Cochrane invents warp drive. But, of course, you've got E.T. seeing us with our nuclear weapons development and coming over. But there have been UFO sightings going back farther into the past, indicating that whatever this is, its presence has been here for a long, long time.
Yeah, in the that wasn't a bad Star Trek. I kind of liked it. I particularly like the guy that played Cromwell played the scientist. First contact was an accident, right? He happened to be flying out there with warp drive, and somebody saw it.
I think it was that the Vulcans had their antenna up, so to speak, for the presence of warp drive by primitive civilizations.
Yeah, fair enough.
And did it.
Okay,
now, the interesting thing here is the choice of Cromwell was a fascinating pick there, because if you remember the original Star Trek series where they depicted the same character, he was a really kind of normal kind of guy. Here he was wacky, hard-drinking, and obviously a much more interesting person. By the way, that was one of the better films in the series, directed by number one himself, Jonathan Frakes, who has done some of the best of the TV shows.
Yeah, Jonathan's a pretty sharp guy. So, essentially, I've always believed that this is all heading towards open contact, and open contact means engagement and involvement in a larger galactic presence. Hopefully not like Cortez arriving in South America, or, you know, the Pilgrims arriving in North America, or Pickett. I mean, these are a little more advanced than those people. And so I don't think it means bad things. I think it means, okay, it's time for you to join us. That's where this has all been going. And I believe that part of the reason that they're moving quickly on this, as opposed to maybe taking a couple of hundred years, is that when a civilization arrives where we are? Because the laws of physics are same all over the universe. We don't just have interstellar drive. We've got nuclear weapons. So we're potentially could blow ourselves up. We're also, not surprisingly, is it a highly advanced, highly populated civilization ravaging the planet. And so at the same time, it's appropriate for them to engage us, given where we're at. It's also somewhat urgent that they engage us because we're really a danger now to ourselves in so many different ways. And I think the conclusion would be that engagement with them, being part of their larger picture, most likely presents for us solutions to some of these problems that we simply wouldn't have otherwise.
Okay. I know the duplexing's bad, so sometimes you can't hear me on your side of the connection. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Want to jump in here with expectations. Now, of course, you mentioned contactees, and I'd like to kind of define the nature of those contacts. Are those abductions or something more full-blown where the spaceship comes down and says, hi, we're from wherever, and we wish to communicate with you? The point being here is, once there is disclosure, we assume if ET is ET, they're monitoring our communications, they would be aware of what's going on. Would that be the signal to them to come down and say, here we are, this is what happens next? Or do they remain elusive? And maybe if they contact anyone, it's going to be a few people.
They're aware of what's going on. So if we disclose that the president announces the ET presence, they're going to know it. And I'm saying that the reason why I say 2 years is it gives the planet a reasonable amount of time to digest the new paradigm shift. I mean, it would kind of be really nasty if we have the president makes the announcement, yeah, there's extraterrestrials here, and then 2 days later they're calling up saying, look, we want to be on Nightline or whatever. No, we need to digest this. We've got 7 billion people. They're going to have to get used to being in the post-disclosure world. 209 or 4 nations and sovereign states that need to make adjustments. And so I think 2 years is a respectable amount of time. It might be 1 year. And then when they make open contact, all right, people are not going to be particularly, affected that much. They're not going to be, it's going to be exciting, but they're not going to panic. Now, one of the most important things with respect to that scenario is the issue of abductions. The ETs also have public relations problems here. The Pentagon's got some huge public relations problems, a lot of politicians and so forth. I get that. So do the ETs. Because ultimately, disclosure leads to confirmation of contact, which means that, hey, all abduction-like contact is going to be revealed, confirmed. And abduction-type contact.
I mean, this might be a lot more complex than what we assume here, however. I mean, maybe, as some people think, we're dealing with more than one alien presence.
Well, we are.
The ones that are doing the abducting might be a completely different set of visitors than the ones who we're friends with, and then there's a lot of people who are going to say, well, you know, I don't know, who do we believe in this? We can't just assume that everything that has been said about alien visitation is now a reality, because then you've got things like reptilians running the government. We're going to really want to separate out the signal from the noise.
Of course.
And you have to remember also, Stephen, that we have the multiple realities. Just as I was talking about politics, where you have a certain group of people, quite a few in this country, because they voted for one guy, and they have to be respected for their decision, that believe thus and so. Then you have another group of people who voted for the guy who apparently won, and they believe thus and so. So what we think and what you expect about possible visitation, some of the people who voted for the other guy in Earth 2 also believe that UFOs are demonic and a manifestation of the devil. So it's not really easy to separate all this.
Look, the truth process is about getting the truth out. It's not about persuading people. The truth is what it is. There are people out there that don't believe in the relativity theory. That's okay. The purpose of developing that theory and proving it was not to convince them, but to simply prove it. What people do with the truth is another matter. But let's get back to the other point. One of the most important results of disclosure is that now you have everyone has a free license now, an institutional license, to now, let's go back and look at all of the information that have been gathered in the citizen science work, citizen science research work, and let's call out the wheat from the chaff. Let's see, and let's find out what work has been done that's going to be useful and what's not useful based upon the new information that we're gathering. Clean it up, in other words. Okay, fine. That'll be helpful. All right. And then it's about what information is coming out after disclosure. And in the contact area, there's no question. This is the, you know, from the standpoint of public relations, this is probably the toughest one. Not only for us, but for the ETs. The government's going to have to admit they've known about it for all these years and didn't do anything about it. Couldn't stop it. That's going to be awkward. But the point is that we're dealing with multiple species and multiple types of contact. It's not simple. All right. And so we need testimony along those lines. What can you tell us about the ET types? What kinds of contacts have there been? Well, witnesses will come forward and say, look, I've been abducted. Others will come forward and say, I've never been abducted, but I've been playing chess with them since I was 12, whatever.
And, of course, there are some people who might say, you know what, I gave them some pancakes because they were hungry, and they gave me some alien water, you never know. Or they gave me some pancakes. I'm eating alien pancakes. I took the recipe over to IHOP, and my God, they started offering that recipe to their customers, and they started a chain. No, that's not what happened. Don't assume that I've completely kicked the bucket, just partly. But we're going to talk about more of these implications and more here and on After the Paracast with Gene Randall and Stephen Urin.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you feel like many of us?
All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and give you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So then we got one more segment to do here, and Stephen Bassett will be back for further discussions on After the Paracast. Now, when it comes to abduction, Stephen, there is a faction in the UFO field who believes they represent a separate phenomenon that may not actually have anything to do with alien contact. Have you been following that at all?
Hey, look, we got an awful lot of contactee reports on abduction, lots of them. Based on that, there's ETs involved. There's a reason they're doing it, and they have an agenda. Everyone will have their own opinion about that, and the governments will have their own opinion about that, but we're going to find out. And if I'm the ETs and disclosure finally takes place, I would end certainly abduction program. I would end it for a number of reasons. You might even end up all one-on-one contact, at least for a while, and then move towards open contact, meaning contact with us as a civilization in a transparent way. But maybe not. Or maybe it'll continue until there is open contact, and then they'll end it. But if it comes to pass that we have disclosure, and then we have open contact, and I'm sure if we did, somebody at the UN will raise their hand and say, look, kind of about this abduction thing, look, now that we're negotiating for trade deals and whatever, I appreciate if you'd stop that. And the ET say, I'm sorry, it's really important to us, and we're going to have to keep abducting you indefinitely. And that's going to be an awkward moment. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, is there an assumption here at all that we can make that there has been communication between the governments of Earth and one or more alien races, and that the subject of possible abductions is involved in those meetups?
Yeah,
this is really interesting, because who is going to be our ambassador? Are we going to say, is Greer going to claim, well, he's the galactic ambassador? Or is it going to be Riel from the Rielians saying, well, I've been in contact with them for years, and therefore, he's tried to set up and build an actual landing spot, I think, over in Israel someplace. And I mean, how are we going to handle that? Because you're going to have these people stepping up to say, well, I've been in contact with so-and-so. I'm the one who ought to be voted or inaugurated as the liaison to Earth. How are we going to deal with that?
These are extremely significant, complex outcomes. I assure you that the process of who is engaging with them and who is negotiating will be handled at the highest levels, and that most people that think that ought to be them, forget about it, it's not going to be them. And these will be high-level, highly educated, intelligent people.
Maybe, how about Neil deGrasse Tyson? How about we make him the official alien liaison? Wouldn't that be something?
I predict that the key negotiators with ETs in an open contact there are people we don't even know their names at this point. Well, that's all kind of fun. But we just touched on another area that is, again, an extremely tough area.
Well, it's going to take a guy like him to really convince the skeptics, right? Like, if they come down and he's an astronomer, he's a skeptic, he's been like, look, we need something real here. If a person like that, who the skeptics believe in, comes out and says, yes, I've been aboard their ship, apparently they've been here for a long time, and I was wrong, you're going to have a real shift then. I mean, you've got people who still don't believe we went to the moon, even though they can go walk past a Saturn V rocket, you know, that's on display at NASA. So you're going to need somebody that can say, yeah, I've been there. I've been on the ship. They're real, that people respect.
Well, again, the timeline, disclosure has taken place. The confirmation has gone worldwide. The heads of state of every major nation have confirmed it. They've basically all lined up together. So we know the ETs are here. All right, fine. And we're going to research what we know about them already, and the government will provide some additional information, and we'll absorb all of this. And then, if I'm right about open contact, that involves direct engagement with us as a in an open way with our governments or representatives of our governments or representatives of the planet. How that will take place, I don't know. Will we go on their ships? I don't know. It could just be communications. It could just be by Skype. Whatever. That's open contact. In other words, it will be known worldwide, not guessed at, not speculation, that governments are, in fact, in one form or another, separately, collectively, talking with and engaging extraterrestrials. And how that'll go down, I don't know. It's fun to talk about it. It's fun to think about it. But it's too far down the line. But it's a big deal.
Now, excuse me for interrupting, but this is something you and I have discussed before. It is something that we've dealt with from time to time here in the Paracast. So let me bring it up now right here in the final segment of this episode. I raise the question here, the fact that when we look at disclosure, we're talking about something that is U.S.-centric. But if another country gets the bright idea, and we know which countries they are, to beat us to the punch as they'd like to do, maybe disclosure would play out totally different from what you expect.
Yeah, Lou, there's some variations here if another nation goes first, but the basic process will be the same. So if Putin were to announce it, our president would move very quickly to confirm it, and then they would immediately start holding hearings. Now, that's a little awkward because, again, here you have, it's the reverse. The president has confirmed it, and now we hold the hearings. So that's going to be a big shock to the system. I assure you, the shock to America, if Putin were to make the call, and he doesn't need any run-up to it, he doesn't have to have any committee meetings, he can just do it, the whole United States would be caught with his pants down. The president, the Congress, the DOD, everybody. And then they have two choices. They can say, no, he's lying. Right? He's wrong. It's not true. And of course, it's ultimately going to be proven true. That just makes it worse. Plus, once one nation does it, Putin, other nations are going to jump in. They're not going to wait. They're not going to, well, let's wait until the U.S. says it's okay. No. So Britain jumps in, France, we'll have no choice. And it's going to be much more disruptive and shocking and embarrassing. I think that the people inside the Department of Defense and the TTSA guys, as well as some of the committee chairs they're talking to, I think they understand that. We've got to get this done. Otherwise, it's going to go not so well. But once that is done, once the worst is over, we'll have the hearings, information will come out, and the process will generally move forward as previously discussed, though the U.S. will not get nearly the amount of, how would you say, global accolades and appreciation. That will go to the country that goes first. Ultimately, from the standpoint of the two-year view, meaning 2 years after that, where are we? Probably about the same place. But again, there's one thing that I want to mention. On a scale of public relations issues, that probably the worst for the U.S. is if, in fact, our government has had arrangements and dealings with the ETs already and cut deals, and that those will ultimately come out. From a PR standpoint, that's utterly brutal and probably not containable. So let's hope that's not the case. But if it is the case, it's one very good reason why the truth embargo has lasted so long. Because I don't think anybody wants to have to face up to that, but they're going to have to. The truth will out.
Stephen, where do we find more of your information?
ParadigmResearchGroup.org. It's all there. I've got a Facebook page. I've got a Twitter page. I think I just started an Instagram page. Yes, I think I did. All that can be kind of linked from the website. The Disclosure Wire podcast will launch very soon, and that will be, you know, promoted heavily. People will find out about it. That's pretty much where I'm at right now, and I look forward to more discussions with you. And let's just watch the next 70 days and see what happens. I think you're going to see a lot of things happen. You're going to see some ET stuff related happening, too, as we get closer to the inauguration.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook. Also, we have branded merchandise, T-shirts, throw pillows, all the good stuff with different logos at the Paracast shop. That's the Paracast.shop, the Paracast.shop for more info. Check out the Paracast Plus, where Stephen Bassett will be back. We'll be right back on the After the Paracast podcast to talk more about what's going on here. We also offer a version of this show free of the network ads, the entire package available for a special low price now. We cut prices 40% more. And we also offer for long-term subscriptions free coupon code for The Phenomenon, the James Fox documentary, with 3 hours of extra material. To sign up, just check out the Paracast.plus. Once again, the Paracast.plus. Stephen Bassett, fun as always. Thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
You're welcome, guys.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.